Hey, real quick before we get started, head over to Facebook and join the PT Entrepreneurs Facebook group if you haven't done so yet. We have monthly live trainings going on there. There's an opportunity for you to join in the conversation instead of just listening to what I have to say on this podcast, as well as the people that I bring on. And it's a really cool place to join about 6,000 other clinicians that are honestly trying to change the landscape of our profession through these cash and hybrid practices. One other thing that's really cool is we have a guide in there that's a quick start guide. When you join, you can go and check this out. There's about 7 videos that we've curated that are the most common questions we get and the best case studies that we've found to really help you start, grow, and scale your practice up to 7 figures. So if you haven't done so yet, head to Facebook, request to join the PT Entrepreneurs Facebook group. You have to be a clinician. We're going to check you out. We don't just let anybody in. But if you are, head there, go ahead, get signed up. We'd love to have the conversation with you in that group. So here's the question. How do physical therapists like us, who don't want to see 30 patients a day, who don't want to work home health, and have real student loans, create a career and life for ourselves that we've always dreamed about? This is the question, and this podcast is the answer. My name's Danny Matei, and welcome to the PT Entrepreneur Podcast. What's up, guys? Doc Danny here and Eve GG with the PT Entrepreneur Podcast. And we're going live in the PT Entrepreneurs Facebook group. So if you're not in the Facebook group, head to Facebook, look up PT Entrepreneurs. We don't know how to spell it, but you can look it up yourself. It's a hard word to spell. Look it up, request to join. We'll check you out, make sure you're a clinician, and then we'll add you to what we have going on. It's a cool space. Got about 6,000 other clinicians in there that are all kind of helping each other out. And we get in here and we try to teach usually once a week. So if you're listening on the podcast, head over there. If you're in the Facebook group and you want to listen on the podcast, you can listen to it on iTunes, Spotify, wherever you like to listen to that. Today, Eve and I, we are talking about the best ways to reinvest in your business. And, you know, it's funny, when I thought about this, I thought to myself, we don't really talk about this much. And yet it's the one thing that I wish, it's the one thing I really didn't understand. And I feel like a lot of the people that we get a chance to work with don't really understand early on, because usually you think of what something costs as a liability, right? Like something that's going to take away from what you're making, because you don't have the same ability to reinvest in yourself and your personal life, like in your personal goals and finances and things like that, the same way you do in your business. And there's some unique tax advantages associated with that as well that make it a real strong case to want to reinvest as much as you can afford to in your own business along the way. And the more you can do that and the longer you can wait, the faster your business grows and the bigger it tends to get along the way. So we'll talk about it today, and it's not your traditional 401k, you know, put money aside for retirement or whatever it is that you choose to be. This is not what we're talking about from a reinvestment standpoint. This is going to be different than that. It's going to be very, very tactical. So hopefully this will help you really make better decisions about where you should be putting money and allocating money into your business so that you can really help it grow as fast as possible. Anything to add, Eve?
Yeah, I think it's a good way to start and set the tone of the podcast, because when people think reinvest, almost everybody goes to stocks, you know, maybe real estate and things like that. And well, we don't really focus on enough. And it definitely is a change. I see the change in a lot of our mastermind members too, of like really understanding that the best place to reinvest could be, not always, but we're going to talk about how we feel for sure, is in yourself and in your business. And that is a big switch that some people make, definitely, that needs to be made if you go from employee to entrepreneur.
Well, that brings me really into a great segue into the first area that I think everybody should reinvest. And that's in knowledge, right? And that really, you said it slightly differently. You said it in yourself. So you can look at this any way you want, but really it's your skills, your skill sets, your abilities to be able to do the things that you want to do. And I like to think of it this way. Let's say you have decided, okay, I want to play golf, right? You say, all right, I'm going to learn how to play golf. And you go out and you buy yourself the world's greatest driver, right? Whatever that might be. Say you drop $500-$600 on this driver that's just amazing, and it's made out of this spaceship material or something like that. And now you have this club that you could theoretically smack a ball 300 plus yards with, right? But you go to the driving range and you swing it and you dribble a ball 10 feet and you do it again. And then it goes a little further and it's nowhere you're aiming, and you get frustrated and you're like, this club sucks. Well, the club doesn't suck. You suck at golf because you haven't actually learned the skill yet. So if you have this, this is why you have to earn the right to have these sort of growth periods in your business. And you don't deserve to, like, if somebody just gave you a functioning business that was making a few million dollars a year and you had no idea how to run a business, you would ruin it. You would ruin it. It's why you can't just step into those things. You have to learn how to actually run a business, right? And if you don't understand how to start, grow, and scale a business, the very first thing you should do before you do anything else that we're going to talk about is improve your own knowledge and your own skill set. Because if you don't, it's like buying a driver and not knowing how to swing it.
Yeah, I think this is an analogy I use quite a bit, and it's on the same vein. When people struggle with marketing and sales, right? These are kind of these we talk about a lot. These are these first kind of two essential skills, you know, maybe mindset as well, you know, things like that. That people get frustrated really easily. And what I tell them is like, hey, first time you did an eval, like, how did that go? You know, the first time we did a clinical evaluation, like, do you think that went really, really well? And they're like, no. I was like, why are you expecting the same thing when you ask somebody for $200, you know, or have to answer the insurance question or have to learn how to market yourself, you know, to referral sources? And it's the same thing, right? Like, you've got to invest the time and energy through mentorship, reps, experience, all the things you did clinically, right? So you've got this superpower, you've got this amazing clinical ability, but what you don't have, right, is you don't have, let's go with the golf analogy, you have a really crappy clubs, you know what I mean? Like, you've got to invest the time and energy to improve your skill set. And it can get there, but it takes a lot of time and energy to do it. That's just the bottom line.
It does. And you know, the other reason I would say this is the very best place to start is it of all these other things that we're going to go over, all these other things can be taken away from you. Like, you can have things that happen in your life that maybe you have no control over, and these other things can be taken away. But people cannot take away your skill set. Like, not unless there's a catastrophic injury. If you can't use your brain, that's the only reason that this isn't going to work, right? But like, you could take, like, for instance, if Eve and I, someone's like, I'm taking everything away from you and I'm going to put you, you have to go to another area and you have to start all over again. Like, I feel very confident that whatever business it is that I decide that I'm going to start and grow or become part of, I have a skill set that is valuable that I can apply, and I can get back to where I am today in a relatively short manner, a hell of a lot faster than what it took me to this point. And it's because I've learned these skills. I understand information that is leverageable, it's valuable. It's something that no one can take away from me at all. Right. So that's a really important thing to keep in mind is like, when you invest in yourself, it is very safe. It's very secure. The only time we see people get a terrible return on their investment is if they lack the desire and the willingness to actually put in the work to apply what they're learning. And it's not that common because most people don't like to waste their own money, right? Like, if you went to PT school and you just didn't pay attention at all, you didn't learn anything, and then you're like, yeah, I don't really want to do this. Like, I'm not going to listen to anybody. You'd be a terrible PT. You probably wouldn't pass the boards. And then you would have wasted time and money. Like, no one's really going to do that. They all want to try to utilize what they're spending their time and their attention on. So that's the only time you see, and it's very rare. It's almost never really happens. So as long as you're willing to put in the work, then it's probably the safest investment you could possibly make.
Yeah, I think that's just so true. I remember a conversation we had way back when, and you know, as PT Biz was growing, you were reinvesting a lot in yourself and your sales skills and communication skills. And you're like, even if PT Biz like potentially doesn't do well, I have this like amazing skill set, or maybe even we're just talking about Roger or somebody else, like you have this amazing skill set that you could take to any, almost any other business and be super successful. And because you just know how to communicate well, you know how to be persuasive, you know how to get people to buy, and like how valuable is that? And I was like, man, like, it's probably one of the times where I really realized like all these skills that we have built, you know, by default, not necessarily because we thought, oh man, this will be really awesome if, you know, if my business goes under, I can do all these other things. But by default, it has forced us to learn all these things that are so applicable to yeah. other areas, you know, and it's been huge. And I also think like, this is also, which I like, we're attacking this first. This is also the foundation, or if you want to use downstream, like if you don't do this first, it's good. Everything else gets so much harder. So like, this is typically the thing you have to attack first, like make this foundation really, really big. And this is something that you'll never hopefully stop doing ever. Like hopefully you'll always be continuing to build your skill set, learn more things, you know, and we've talked about this a lot. Entrepreneurship forces you to do that. You know, I was talking to somebody today. It's like, cool, you're a really good clinician. All right. You understand how to add, you know, which we'll talk about later, people, equipment, space, all these things. But now you really need to learn how to leverage your time better. Really need to learn this new skill of CEO and leadership and,
yeah.
and management, you know?
Yeah, I completely agree. And the other thing too is really with all of these, and this is probably just a key concept to understand. And it has to do with when you look at reinvesting in any of these areas, this could be what we're talking about with your own skill set or any of the other things we're going to talk about. You have to understand that the way in which you are taxed as a business has to do with what money you have left over at the end of the fiscal year. So the end of the year, let's say at the end of the year, you have $100,000 in profit, right? Now, let's say you didn't pay yourself a dime the whole time. And so you have this $100,000. You can say, sweet, I can take that $100,000 and that's mine. I'm going to take it and I'm going to put it in my personal checking account. Well, if you do that, you'll owe taxes on all $100,000 of that money. So whatever your tax bill is, let's say it's $25,000. Let's say it's 25%, right? Well, let's say you only needed $50,000, you know, to live for the year. And like, and especially if you can live as frugally as possible, off as little as possible early on in your business. I think this is really one of the keys when I look back on how quickly we were able to grow and scale. It was because Ashley and I were basing our finances, we're basing what we were spending money on off of what my salary was coming out of the Army. So as a captain in the Army, I was making a certain amount of money. And once we got to a point that we could pay ourselves that, we didn't pay ourselves any more than that for like 4 years. And so I paid myself the same salary, lived off the same salary that I was making. And we were making far more money than I was whenever we were in the military, because I wasn't spending all the money that I was making in the military either. We were still saving money. So we didn't move the goalpost. We stayed where we were at. So all the extra money that we had went into primarily reinvesting in our business. And here's what you got to think about. Say that same $100,000 example, let's say you can live off of 50. So now you're spending $50,000 on something that's going to increase your skill set or increase the enterprise value of your business. Let's say you can reinvest in a space. Let's say you can reinvest in technology that adds predictability and systems to your business. You're adding what's called enterprise value. Enterprise value is what your business is actually worth if you were to sell it, you know, at some point, which we both have done. So it's you can't see it on paper. You can see it, but it's not going to show up on your you know, balance sheet or on your retirement account the way that you would look at like a 401k. But you can value those businesses, and the bigger they are, the more profitable they are, the more systemized they are, the more valuable they are, the more enterprise value they have. So if you can take that $50,000, you can put it into something that's going to get you, let's just say, a 2-to-1 return on that money, which is very easy to do whenever you're looking at reinvesting your own business. Now you're paying half as much money in taxes. So you're paying $12,500 instead of $25,000, or probably less because you're in a lower tax bracket. It's probably closer to $10,000. So you're saving yourself $15,000 on taxes, and you now just have increased the enterprise value of your business by $100,000. Plus you save $15,000 in taxes. Why in the hell would you not do that? The only reason you wouldn't do it is because you don't fucking understand it. You don't understand that it's the most unfair advantage possible when it comes to finances. Like, this is probably the most important thing you can understand if you go into business for yourself. There's risk. There's a lot of unknown. You don't know what's going to happen. The government is granting us the opportunity to have the most impressive tax advantage you could possibly have if you're willing to reinvest in yourself and put that towards things that actually grow your business. And you do that each and every year. And the more you can do that, and the more you can put that into things that are going to predictably help you grow your business, the bigger your business gets, and it doesn't get taxed at all along the way. At all. There's nothing else you can have with that besides a building that you might own where the growth of that building doesn't get taxed until you sell it. Same thing happens with your business. So if you understand the rules of the game, if you understand the nuts and bolts of what we're talking about on the financial side, it's like, why would you not do that unless you literally couldn't, because you had a lifestyle that didn't allow you to, you know, put that money into something else. That's the only other reason why. So hopefully that makes sense, because if you can take anything else away from what we're talking about today, that very well might be the most important thing that you understand.
Yeah. I love it when you get fired up, by the way. I just saw that slowly build and just, you know, hit the peak and then come back down. The other way I look at it, and I can even speak to some of my own views or things that I've done, is you can go to vacation to Orlando, Florida, if you'd like to, right? So you can take those $100,000, put in your personal bank account, go to Orlando, go on vacation. You know, you're going to get taxed for all that money. Or you can go to, like we did, a ClickFunnels conference in Orlando, Florida. That is a business write-off. Get, you know, you don't pay for, not, you know, my trip to Disney may not get paid, right? You can, you know, you can't share a rocket with your friend Danny, you know, and be right behind each other, get a little too close.
Oh, I remember that. Listen, yeah, backstory. So people understand what we're talking about. We went to the ClickFunnels conference in like 20, what was that, 18? And they had magic hour time. We had this long conference, and it was like, you know, from like midnight to 2 a.m. or something like that, or maybe it was 10 to 2. And we thought, no one's going to be here. It's so late. Who is going to be here? It was as busy as I've ever seen it in my entire life. Like, the couple times I've actually been there, it was so busy. And the only damn ride we could get on was a little rocket ride in Futureland that just goes super slow around and around. And we put our name on the list, assuming this is a single person ride. And we go up there, and it's not, it's a 2-person ride. And we had to sit back, like right behind each other, like we're riding Sea-Doos, and just like such a funny, awkward, unexpected moment at this place. But to your point, yes, that was a business trip. Like, we went down there for a marketing conference. And it's true. Like, when you look at like the leveraging your business to do things that go places that you want to go, how can you engineer that in a way that allows you to do that? Now, it has to actually have something to do with business, but if you can mix the two together, man, it's a great way to be very efficient with how you're traveling.
Exactly. Way to really nail that story. I mean, that's where PT Entrepreneur was born. If you remember, like, that is where literally we started that Facebook group while we were there at that conference. So obviously very, very, very impactful. And, you know, that magic moment just solidified our relationship. And here we are, you know, almost seven years later.
It did. I mean, who was in front and who was in back? I can't remember.
I can't remember either.
that's actually an important, you know,
I feel like detail. But I'm not sure.
you might've been, I don't know.
My legs are shorter. You know, you got longer legs.
I can see room over your head. It's like, you know, I can see where we're going. Yeah, that's great. We should jump on a scooter sometime and see what works best.
Yeah. I mean, the other thing to think about too, and a lot of our, you know, mastermind members think about this, or I hope they do, right? Is like, you know, they're obviously paying for continuing education with us and learning. And now all of a sudden that is a business write-off for them, right? Like, you know, that is something that they can leverage, and they can leverage all these skills they're getting, like they're reinvesting in themselves. Right. And so, yes. You know, you can learn all these skills that only, like Danny said, provides enterprise value, provides value to your base of knowledge and who you are, and moves your business forward, increases the amount of cash flow you get today. Like, that is like three things that has a huge impact, you know, that you could do literally right now if you wanted to, you know?
No, so, dude, not only that, but like, they also, it pays dividends. Like, I forwarded you that email that we got from a client we had in the mastermind a couple of years ago. That's in the Chicago area, you know, so I won't say his name, but in the Chicago area, when we were working with him, he was building a mobile practice in the Chicago area, and was doing well. And he just emailed us a couple of weeks ago. And I love seeing this stuff because it's just so cool to see people that we've had a chance to work with, and we don't have to work with people forever. Like, that's the other thing. It's like, this is how it's supposed to go. Like, we're supposed to get a chance to work with people, and at the right time, like, they can take what they've learned and they run with it. And he emailed us, and he was just basically just, you know, catching us up on his business, and was basically just saying, hey, just want to say thanks to you guys for what I learned. And he's taken that business, and now this year he's on pace to do like $1.5 million with this sort of like mobile practice that he's just really grown consistently, and apply the things that he learned, his basic business skills. And I'm sure he's learned more things as well, not just from us, and applied those on top of it. But he sent us an email just saying like, hey, this is the foundation of what, you know, I learned on the business side. It helps so much. Here's where I'm at. I just want to let you guys know I'm very thankful for my time with you. And like, we love seeing that. It's so cool because it should pay dividends going forward. If you do the right things, it's going to compound and snowball. And what's the true value of those skills that you learned? It really depends on how far you take it, you know, and what you want to do. And that's what's so cool about it, is you don't even know what the ROI is going to be. If he was to add up all of that, you know, and figure out what his return on investment was, it would be astronomically high. It would be higher than any investment you could possibly make.
Yeah. It's if you think about it too, it's almost the least risky thing you could do out of anything, which is applying your knowledge and your skill set to what you're already doing. Like, for a lot of people, it feels really risky. And I do understand why, because it's scary. You know, it's not as tangible sometimes. Exactly. And hopefully we can decrease some of those, you know, honestly, false beliefs that I had. Right. And now, like, we still do it to this day. Like, we'll pay a lot of money to learn a new skill set or be around people who, you know more than us and can learn from. So,
I would say every year we as a company probably spend between the lowest in a year, $50,000, and the most in a year, probably $200,000 in literally, like, not just for ourselves, but training and skill development for ourselves and for our team. And we just allocate money to that. We just view it as, this is not a cost. This is an investment. And because we know we'll put the work in, we know that we're going to like apply those things, and you don't have to learn a ton. Like, there's a group we're working with this year, and literally like one module of information that we learned helped one of our team members increase what he was doing, probably doubled his efficiency. Mm-hmm. And if I take that and apply it to the year, just this one thing that he learned that was best practice, it pays for itself. And like, that's it. If we get nothing else out of it, we're like, cool, we're good. We're good. If we get nothing else, we obviously want to apply more things, but if we apply nothing else, we are net even just from that one thing that we wouldn't have known if we hadn't decided to work with that person. So I think knowledge is a big one. You got to understand the tax efficiency side of it and what you're, what you're actually getting, and the unique advantages that the government affords us as business owners. And if you're not using those, it's really one of the bigger, it's one of the bigger things you can do as a business owner, really be as efficient as possible, because you're going to pay taxes, and taxes sucks. Everybody, no one likes it. You just want to pay what you're supposed to pay, and not, you know, more than what you're supposed to pay, if you understand how to, you know, reinvest in your business. So I would say knowledge is number one. The second big one that most people need, or I would say two things. These are really the two that people need. Once you understand the game, once you understand how to play, then you need more space and people. In a service-based business, we're talking about a, you know, in-person service-based business. You scale through people and the physical space to be able to work with them. So you can look at a standalone space expansion, you know, going from a subleased office that has, you know, one room with that's a 10 by 10 to all of a sudden you're in a 2,500 square foot space. And maybe your rent goes from $500 a month to $5,000 a month. And that can feel like, oh my God, my costs are going up. It's so much more expensive. But you also are creating the space to be able to generate far more money. Like, what if you maxed out the most money you can generate in your one office, let's say is $20,000 a month. And let's say you move to a 2,500 square foot space that costs you 10 times as much, but you can generate $200,000 a month, right? All of a sudden, it's a massive difference in terms of top line revenue and being able to grow that business, which you need. You also need people. You need people that are going to be able to run systems in your business and fulfill on sessions or fulfill on services that you have. So again, we look at these as costs because they do go towards our overhead. And maybe your overhead goes from a couple thousand dollars a month to $20,000 a month. But if you're doing the right things and you're leveraging those assets, which are people and space in your business, you should be able to have your business grow at a significantly, you know, bigger rate to be able to offset that. And now it's really just it's a reinvestment that gets paid off of by having the ability to increase your top line and net profit revenue.
Yeah, the conversation I've had so many times, and I see this click happen, and it's almost like I can see into the future when people come up to me. You're a solo provider, you're doing okay. Like you said, you understand the game, you're making some money, and they're like, should I hire an admin? Like, what does this look like? And I already know all they're thinking is this is going to be a cost. Yep. It's going to be a waste of time. You know, like I'm just going to pay all this money and they're not going to do anything. And, you know, the switch that needs to be made, and either happens sometimes when I can just explain it clearly. Sometimes they just need to go and hire that person and then they figure it out. But almost inevitably, they're like, thank God I did this, right? Like, thank God all of a sudden now I've got more time to market, or I've got more time to see more patients. I'm so much more efficient now. And that's how you have to think about it. You can't think of this admin person as a cost. It's an investment. It's an investment in, again, yourself, in your business. And the ROI, just like you talked about the ROI being so positive for that person in Chicago, the ROI on an admin can be phenomenal. You know, yeah. The ROI that I got almost immediately when I hired Dane back in the day, you know, like 20 to 30% of my schedule was more full just by bringing that person on and having them communicate with the clients a little bit more regularly and bringing old people back in. So almost instantly that person paid for their salary and more. And that's let alone, you know, new patients coming in. Again, my ability to go out and market more or increase how many patients I can see. So, you know, you got to look at people for sure as investment, not necessarily a cost.
The only reason that there are costs is if you didn't do a good job training them, you know, or you hired the wrong person, which comes back to knowledge, meaning you don't know how to hire people and you don't know how to train people, right?
Right.
So again, it's like you can't hire people and expect them to figure out what they're supposed to do. You're supposed to know what they're supposed to do and train them on it. And even if you don't know, you're supposed to constantly iterate and work towards what that best system is. You know, have you ever been to a new restaurant whenever they first open up? Like, it's typically when they're at their worst. Their menu is still coming together. Their team is still learning how to work together. Yep. And if you go to a new restaurant, you're like, nah, this is okay. I don't really like this so much. You might go back a year later and be like, oh my God, this is amazing. This is so much better because they're gelling together. They're learning what they need to do. They're learning more about, you know, prep and supply chain stuff that they need. So like, it takes time sometimes to like bring these things together. So with people, it is, I think, a harder direct ROI conversation to have with people when it comes to administrative assistants, administrative people within the practice, because they're not technically service providers. They are not revenue producing assets. They are what we call force multipliers. So they're people that allow you to get time back because they are doing things that are not necessarily they're not necessarily what you should be doing because you can focus on higher value tasks and your staff can focus on higher value tasks. So if you hire a staff clinician and you don't have an administrative assistant, you better have amazingly automated systems in place that basically offset an entire admin, which is incredibly hard to do. And even still, you miss the face-to-face component of somebody being there. But if you don't have that, then you become that person's admin. So now, instead of you focusing on, you know, driving forward the business and getting more getting more patients and more revenue, getting to meet more people in the community, building a pipeline of people to potentially work in your facility, you are sending a super bill. Okay, you ask yourself, which is a more important task for you to focus on: putting together a super bill or building out a pipeline of people that are talented, that are going to have a chance to work for your company one day. So what you have to think about is when you're just being cheap and not hiring and reinvesting in your business because you view it as a cost, you're costing yourself a hell of a lot more money by doing these $15, $20 an hour tasks and not focusing on these $1,000 an hour tasks that are way, way more important for your business. You just might not know what those are just yet, or maybe you haven't started doing them. But when you free up your time, you have so many good things come from that, because you're not a lazy person that's going to sit there and just play video games. You're not going to waste your time doing nothing. You're going to work on improving this thing that's so important to you, which is your business.
Yeah. You have to trust yourself too, right? Like, you have to trust yourself, which is also sometimes hard, especially in that first transition of like, I've got all this free time. How am I going to use it wisely? And I think that's holds people back too, as well. And like, let's scale this conversation up a little bit too. So another conversation I have a lot is, we've got a clinician, they've got a bigger space, they've got multiple providers, they've got an admin, and they're still treating all the time. So it really reminded me what you said. And it's like, okay, I could make $200. This is how I talk about it. This is applicable. $200 an hour to see a patient, or I can spend an hour training my three therapists on how to more effectively sell more packages. And all of a sudden now I could do something that generates thousands of dollars, if not tens of thousands of dollars, if not at some point six figures, right? Like, in training that you do. And so it's like, you know, now you're starting to think about how can I, which is a conversation I'm having myself a bunch, is how can I leverage, you know, every hour of my day to have the biggest impact on my business, you know, and my people, to really push this thing forward. And when you think about that, you know, reinvesting in people and in their skill set is a huge transition that needs to be made, which is hard for a lot of practitioners, because they're like, I love treating and this is what I like to do. But is that where you need to be right now? Like, maybe not.
Well, it could even be clinically. You know, I think that's something that most of the clinicians we work with, they love the clinical side. They chase clinical excellence. They get frustrated in a practice and then they move on to do their own thing. And what a great opportunity for you to build just a magnificent team of clinicians by pouring into them and mentoring them and having them work together to help improve their own clinical skill sets. Like, the time that it takes to organize things like that, the time it takes to actually spend co-treating or individually working with people on things, talking to them about cases that maybe were home runs and foul balls and things that you do to really build this like clinically excellent team. You need time for those things, right? So you can't be the admin. You can't be the only person treating. You might have to find the balance that makes sense to you, but you definitely need administrative help and you need clinical help. So, you know, your staff clinicians, like, these people are true. I mean, everybody's an asset in the business. And what you also don't realize is, and I didn't realize this until we hired our first admin, and I'd have a few patients every month that would be coming in just because she told them to come see us. So you have these advocates in the community for your business that are going to help you drive more new patient volume, more brand awareness, just by having more people. If you have a business that they really appreciate and they think does a great job, man, they're your biggest advocates. They're not, I mean, they should be out there talking about your business because they really believe in what they're doing. And if you have that, like, I don't know what the cost would be to have people just like constantly telling people about how awesome your business is and that they should come and see them. But like, it's worth more than what you're paying their salary if they do a good job of that alone. So, you know, it's like a hidden benefit that I actually didn't even think about until I started to really calculate it. And I was like, man, Claire like pays for herself just with new people coming to see us, let alone actually doing the work we pay her for. And so you got to think about that too. You're getting people repping your business in your local community in a much more leveraged way because you have more people that work there.
Yeah. To even compound on that, I had this conversation with somebody else as far as like adding more people and like pros and cons. And a big thing that I've noticed is the more people we've added to our team, PT Biz, EFT, Made to Move, like you pick the company, the more, I guess we'll go back to knowledge again, the more knowledge base or perspectives or like different viewpoints that we get to have in the business, I've just seen absolutely just elevate the game. Totally. You know, Made to Move especially, right? Like, you know, okay, added Dane. Like, there's just things that Dane knew that I didn't know, or just perspective, or just having somebody else be like, is this a good idea or bad idea, right? And then we add, you know, we added Nate back in the day, and there was a lot of clinical knowledge there. And then we kind of added, you know, multiple providers, and it's just same thing. Not only more people talking about Made to Move because they had their own networks, but also now their skill sets and what they do really well added to the base of knowledge of, you know, what Made to Move goes through. And like the cool part is, and the Elliot Hanna have implemented this, they do these growth meetings. Basically, they take the unique skill set of each of their providers, what they're most interested in, and they teach all the other providers about that. And like the compounding of skill sets that's happening there between, like, again, like learning to communicate effectively, clinical tools, you know, taking care of themselves, like you can just see the whole team just being elevated. And like, I think that is, for me, that was the coolest thing about adding people to the team.
I think it's also very important to have different perspectives from people in your business. And this is where it comes down to also you understanding that as a person that owns the business, right, you have final say over everything. But I can definitely tell you that if you think that you're right about everything, you're wrong, because you are so, like, you have your perspective and other people will see things differently. They may have different views or different information because of the way they interact with people. And if you're open and willing to listen to people, and especially people that are, their default sort of like wiring and the way that they view the world is not the same as you. Like, there's, for me, I'm not a very operationally driven person, but Ashley, my wife, is very, you know, systems detail driven. She's a great operator. And, you know, for me to be like, no, we need to do it this way and whatever. And like not listen to somebody that is just so smart in a different lens, that's, you're wasting the opportunity to really have this like unique advantage of these multiple minds working together. And it could be the most junior person on your team, the most senior person on your team, somebody that has the least amount of experience. It doesn't matter, because like ideas and solving problems and like that can come from a lot of places if you're willing to listen to other people and aggregate that information. And the other thing that's cool that happens with that is when you actually like listen to other people, they appreciate that. Like, do you like somebody just completely discounting you and your opinion all the time? Like, no one likes that. Like, if you can actually listen to somebody, the culture of your business starts to become such an enjoyable place to work. You have less turnover. You have more referrals for people that want to work in your business. Like, we never once had a problem finding staff clinicians to work in our practice ever. And it's because we have a culture that's fun to be around. We have a culture that like appreciates other people's opinions and is trying to overall try to help the people that we work with as best we can. So, you know, you get a chance to build these people into a huge asset, which is the culture of your business, which continues to, again, compound and drive forward. And you really have to like pour into them and put the time into them. And I think that's where people get frustrated when you look at people, because people are also messy, multifactorial. They bring their shit into your, you know, clinic, their own personal problems and stuff like that. And man, that's like one of the best and worst parts of a business like this, is the people are the best part and sometimes the most frustrating part at the same time. But in a service-based business, you want to scale and reinvest, you got to have them one way or another.
Yeah. I mean, you couldn't be more right. Like, having people underneath you and managing people can be one of the hardest challenges, you know, beyond like the initial kind of like, I'm going to go all in. I'm not going to be employee. I'm going to be a business owner now. Like that was right. still by far the hardest transition. But this one is, you know, and continues to be like leadership, like, you know, we've invested a lot of time and energy into figuring that out. And there's not much you can do beyond just like doing it and doing the thing and learning from your mistakes, which both of us had. But also just to emphasize how exceedingly rare we all have had a boss or multiple bosses who really didn't take into account our say whatsoever. Like maybe we said something, maybe you weren't even allowed to say something. Even if you did, that person just never listened, right? So like, just, I want to really emphasize that if you're a leader within your team and you can actually spend the time listening to your employees and like valuing their opinion and letting that help you in the decision-making process, like people will notice that. Like, and it doesn't mean you need to listen to everything they say, but like, right. you know, as in listen, as in take action, like, oh no, let's do it this way. And you just do whatever your employees say. That's not what I mean. A lot of times you need to make the decision and be like, that's, you know, I value this opinion, but that is not why we're doing this. We're doing it this way. And here's why. Just doing that. Oh my God. That extra effort can be huge yeah. in keeping people around and creating a culture that people want to be a part of. And people can see that, like you said, even if they're not in the business, they know like that gets around, you know, same thing like with what you said, Made to Move, like we get applicants weekly. It's crazy, but I believe it's because the culture, you know, that we've built is different.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's what you get to do when you have your business, right? You get to pick who you're working with and you get to pick how you lead them. If you do yep. a good job, you're going to have no problems whatsoever finding people. And that's really on the leader. Like, you know, that there's a lot there. But when we look at other more tangible places that you can reinvest, another one that comes to mind, another really important one, I would say is equipment and technology. So, you know, for us, I think of something like the blood flow restriction cuffs that we got years ago, the Delphi cuffs from the, you know, Owens Recovery Science. And, you know, they're not cheap. Right. And even like, you know, the Johnny Owens, who owns that company, like he was, you know, one of my clinical mentors as a student at the Center for the Intrepid. Like I remember doing limb salvage work with him and you know, amputee rehab at the Center for the Intrepid where he was dialing all these crazy protocols. And I remember thinking like, what is this guy doing? I've never seen anybody that had so many progressions and regressions for these and was really pushing these limb salvage patients in a really extraordinary way. And as blood flow restriction training started to, you know, come about, I had classmates of mine from the military that were still in, they were doing this far earlier than everybody else because it was something they were using heavily with Johnny in the San Antonio area in the military clinics. And I remember even reaching out to him and being like, dude, these are really expensive. Why? You know, what is the deal with these? You know, and what we decided was they were worth it. They're the best ones that are on the market and they were expensive. So it was like $10,000 for us to get two of these, cuffs. But it allowed us to really increase our outcomes, especially anybody post-operatively, like post-surgical rehab work that we were doing. Anything lower extremity did awesome with these. And it really set us apart as a clinic that we could market those and get people in the door to utilize those. So when we did the, you know, sort of like return on investment analysis of that, like that's an example of a piece of equipment that made a ton of sense and actually worked out really, really well for us. So it can definitely, you know, be equipment or certain things that you're going to need. Maybe it's equipment that you need to run like semi-private training in your practice. So maybe you need to build like a little mini gym out, but you say to yourself, okay, it's going to cost me $6,000 to get all the equipment for this gym, but I can train 6 people at a time and I can charge $50 per person per session. So now I can add an extra $300, you know, hour, 2 days a week. So it's extra $600 a month. Or a week just from this small group from a few people, and I can't do it before. How long does it take for me to get break even on that and the reinvestment of it? And so that might be what you need to do, but you just need to be very clear on that it's actually going to, you know, get more revenue in the door for you instead of just an extra cost. Like that's, I think, where it can be a slippery slope, especially with equipment and technology as well. Like I can tell you, we've had to do technology audits where we're like, are we paying? What do we need all this software for? You know, right. And it's like we're duplicating stuff over and over again, and you have to cut stuff. But technology can also be a massive advantage for you. You know, anything that's going to help you with clarity and efficiency in your practice. Like if you're using a Google Calendar and you know, Google documents for your notes, it's inefficient and it's not professional. Get an EMR. There's a reason why they exist. It's going to help you save a bunch of money and you're going to look a lot better doing it. So yeah, is it $50 to $100 a month or whatever? Yes. But how much time is that saving you? How much more secure is that? How much more professional does that look? Like it's worth the reinvestment. So these are the areas that I think products, technology, equipment, these are things that you can really invest in. But I don't, and I think they're not as big of a return on investment as the things we've already talked about, but still serve a very important purpose in your business as it grows.
Yeah. I think like you can break it down, I believe, when we talk about equipment and tech stacks into two areas where you were, can be super helpful. Number one is just like value, right? So like value to your business, value to the clients, you know, to continue on that BFR thing. We went as far just to make sure it was worth the money. We actually pre-sold BFR like packages prior, and it paid for, I think, like at least one of the units, which was awesome, right? So it paid for itself before we even bought the thing, right? So there's ways to do it. And so, you know, with things like that, you know, not only did it help, will help you clinically, okay, get better outcomes. It'll help us with the sales process. Cause we had this conversation, like, are you adding stuff to this? Like, no, it really allows us to help sell more packages. I was like, oh, okay, cool. Huge benefit there. And then marketing. Yeah. It's like, we were the only company, you know, in South Carolina, I think, that had any sort of BFR cuffs at the time. You know, I mean, this was 5-6 years ago, right? Like maybe longer. So, you know, it provides a lot of value. And then you have things like you talked about that help with leverage, you know? So like really just a good job of, you can leverage it. The force multipliers, man, I love that. I'm going to use that a bunch, right? So an EMR system, right? Like, you know, and I tried to sell this. So I know like the easiest thing I told people as a force multiplier is like, you're using Google Calendar. You have to manually kind of remind your clients. Like if you just use this EMR and it automatically texts people to remind them of their appointment, it emails them, like, what is that worth to you? If you just have like a 20% show up rate, literally this EMR instantly pays for itself, let alone the leverage in your time, right? And like, we can say the same thing about HubSpot, right? Like what would HubSpot do as far as like, I have to track a lot less. I have all these automations I have in place now. Like I could replace an admin, or at least I have my admin doing maybe more skilled things. And now I'm leveraging technology in order to, you know, force multiply my admin. You know, and I think that's just, those are huge areas that can just provide so much value to your business and value also to yourself and your time.
Something as simple as Slack is a great example, right? So like we use Slack for internal communication with all of our businesses. We used it with our practice. It's free to cheap, you know, somewhere in that range every single month. But the speed at which you can communicate with your team and you can stay out of their inboxes is totally worth it. It's just such a better tool to communicate, right? So like it's in a lot of ways, especially when we start talking about technology, it's not just what the technology costs, it's the time cost to learn how to use it and implement it, right? So, you know, you have to look at that. But if you know that you have this system that you have, right? And let's say it's inefficient, but it's working for you for now. You have to really think about, well, what do I need this? What do I need in place to be where I want to be 3 years from now or whatever? Like, where are you trying to go with this? Build into the business that you're trying to go with. Because if you wait until you are growing to a point that like you want to be before you start to reinvest in technology, the headache of switching these things over and, you know, changing all these with more people and things like that, it is so much harder. It's so much worse versus just starting from the get-go with the right things. And even sometimes if they're maybe a little bit more expensive than you think that you would like, I always, like, if it's up to me, I go with the better, whatever I think is better and more proven tool as far as technology is concerned, because the cost of switching, the cost of a company not being able to fulfill on what they say that they're going to do, it is not worth it to me to try to play that game to save a little bit of money every single month. So just, you have to be very careful, I think, on that side of it when you're choosing what to reinvest in. I definitely think, you know, proven companies, reputable companies, companies that you really feel aligned with, that other businesses are using, like that's the kind of stuff that I think you got to keep an eye on as you're looking at the technology side of stuff in particular.
Yeah. And you always say this too. It's like the enterprise value as well into your business when you got something like a HubSpot or an EMR or Slack, and having these systems again that scale beyond yourself, are not relying on you, and like, you know, work relatively hands off, like it just adds to that enterprise value, like 100%, right? So not all of us are systems driven, you know, like building SOPs, but these things can literally help you start building that stuff out, you know. And I love what you said, because a lot of people will go for the cheaper version of things, you know, and sometimes it might be okay to start there. But when you look at, I want to grow this business, I want to scale it, this is what it looks like 3 to 5 years down the road, it's almost always, at least in the game now, it's almost always better to go with that proven kind of system, you know, something that really will scale with you. You know, it's not going to break after you've got multiple providers on there. You know, right. Really good example of this is like, it's still a problem in our space is Google Voice and Sideline. You know, like a lot of people will use that, or they use their own personal cell phone number kind of solo, and then they've got to go to this next thing, and they've got to go to, you know, Dialpad is much more expensive, but it's more scalable. So, you know, I think always trying to invest in something that you think will be a better long-term fit, you know, makes more sense.
It does. Yeah. This is the cost of tuition is so difficult and stressful that it is just not worth it, because it makes you so inefficient for such a long period of time. The last area, and then we can sort of summarize everything, is what we call vendors. So vendors are basically fractionalized service groups. So if you were to think of this on the marketing side, let's say you want to get help with your marketing, and you don't want to do it all yourself, and you want to get someone to help dial in your marketing plan and implement utilization of certain technology or whatever it is that you want help with, you can do one of two things. You can either do that yourself if you feel like that's the best use of your time. And I definitely think early on, that's one of the most important things to really focus on and get that very clear. You can hire somebody internally that's going to focus on marketing. And that would be people. So reinvesting in a person as an asset. But you might be at a point where it makes no sense to have somebody that's a full-time, you know, marketer on staff, like a chief marketing officer or just like a general marketing role within your business. And you might want to outsource that work and in what we call a fractionalized way to another company. We do this with part of what we do with Physical Therapy Biz with marketing to a vendor. So we use an outside group that has a specialization in forms of marketing that we are not as good at. And we leverage them to help us on the marketing side with certain things that we're doing. And it's cheaper for us than it is to hire someone of the same caliber to work for us full time, because that agency, that vendor can leverage their time and work with multiple companies and fractionalize their time between them. You see this with things like marketing is probably like the easiest example. A lot of businesses will go and get what's called a fractionalized CFO or chief financial officer. It may make no sense whatsoever for you to have a CFO to like project your finances and cash flow. And it's like, dude, listen, even if you have like $1 million business, it's probably not worth your time. It's not worth having somebody that's going to cost like a couple $100,000 in your business, because it's just like overkill, versus you get a fractional CFO. Or in some cases, a great example would be an accountant. You may not need a staff accountant that's doing everything internally. So what do? You hire an accounting agency and they keep your books and they meet with you on a whatever recurring basis, and then they do your taxes. And so they're not your accountant. They are an accountant for a bunch of other companies, but you're basically sharing the cost of one of these service professionals that you need, but you're not big enough to have them, you know, internally. So these vendors can be a really great way of getting specialized skills without having to go through the whole process of like hiring somebody on and the HR side of all that and managing that person. Like directly, you have these professional agencies and vendors. They can do a great job, and really they like bolt on to your business in a really fast way.
Yeah. I've somehow gotten away with, you know, let's call it 15 years in entrepreneurship or close to, never really having to do my own bookkeeping. You know, I do my own personal budget. I do my own, but like literally before I even had a business, I had a friend of mine who was an accountant, and I told him, hey, can you do my books for me? Like, I have no desire to learn how to do QuickBooks. I have no desire how to do any of this. And then I had Dane after that who kind of helped me. And now we've got obviously a group that helps us. You know, it's way more complicated now for me with multiple businesses, but you know, I outsourced that from day one, you know, and I think that was so useful for me because the time and energy, the life it would have sucked out of me in order to do QuickBooks would have just been, it would have slowed me down. I probably wouldn't be in business. This is not even a numbers person. Like, I like projections. I like looking at P&Ls, but data entry and like accumulating that and consolidating credit cards, like, oh, no, thank you. So yeah, I think the power of these vendors and outsourcing things can't be understated. You know, like, I think, again, it seems to be like another theme of this is leveraging time, but that was huge for me. And then also, let's take another example of like graphic design, you know, like Fiverr, like that is a massive business, right? Like outsourcing this and VAs and things like that are absolutely huge, you know? And I really think that if you can leverage those people well, right? Like the money that you're saving, like a full-time graphic design person doesn't make really sense for anybody, you know? So like the amount of money that you've saved just to like do these kind of one-off projects and like, that probably wasn't even possible, you know, before. So like, that is just so much more doable now, these kind of freelance workers. I feel like you can be a pretty lean business and outsource a ton of stuff, you know, which could ultimately make you a lot more profitable too. And the other side effect too, is it gives you a chance to try out things, you know, like in other business EFT, like we didn't need a graphic design full-time. So we had this part-time person, but eventually got so big, we needed a full-time person. So it was like a perfect segue to even understand, you know, like call it a virtual admin until you need a full-time. There's so much ways to, I think, leverage that in a positive way. And it's like, it's so cool. We have that ability nowadays.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's, I would say it's a great, it's like a good win-win because for a lot of people that are in these different, you know, service industries, they might be a bit more entrepreneurial and they might want variance and be able to do a really good job with a number of businesses. So for them, it's great because they get a chance to work with, you know, however many businesses they can support, and you get really talented people for the amount of work that you need for your business. And it can scale up and maybe it does move to where you have somebody in house. But I think just like a bookkeeper is just such an easy example, right? Probably one of the very first vendors you need is just somebody to run, just to do your books. It's probably going to cost you, you know, $100 to $200 a month, somewhere in that range, or maybe a little bit more if they're really good. And they just keep track of stuff in your business in terms of the accounting side of things. So that way, when you hand it off to an accountant, they don't have to try and, you know, fix all these mistakes or whatever. Like it's really a huge return on your investment and your time and your mental bandwidth, right? Like you said, you just be exhausted and you're probably putting it off to the end of the month. Then you have to like catch up on everything because it's just not something you like, you know? So that's a really good example of a vendor. Design stuff, all kinds of different things. But what's cool about these vendors now is you can find them pretty easily. You can bolt them onto your business really easily. You don't have to worry about the tax side of things with them because they are contractors, right? So you're not paying payroll taxes for these people. You're not having to worry about, you know, your human resources, work comp, all the stuff that goes along with that. All you got to do is just bolt them on. And then if you don't need them, or if it's not going well, then you let them go, right? Or if you find really good ones, you might have a very long working relationship with them, which is a great, that's a great win in its own right. So vendors are great because it allows you to improve the speed in which you're growing, and it allows you to get really talented people for a fraction of the cost, but also a fraction of their time than having that same person that, to be honest, you may not even be able to hire because they may not be the kind of person you can hire full time, and you get that effort and that knowledge base plugged right into your business.
Yeah. And it's also, which I think is another sneaky thing, it's easy to move on too, right? Like hiring somebody full time and then eventually firing them has been very difficult for a lot of people, as it should be, right? Like it's a tough decision to make. So now it's like, oh, cool, this worked. Oh, it didn't work. Now I can move on to a different, like social media would be a really good one, right? I could hire a social media manager or video editor, but I can also like pretty easily move on to the next person, bookkeeper as well. So I think that's another just like sneaky way that it makes things easier, which is ultimately what you want, right? Because again, firing someone is not fun. So, you know, now it's just like, all right, I can find the best person that works for me. And I can also try a couple different ones, you know, like trying a couple different EMRs is painful and terrible. I did it. I've used almost every single EMR that is out there. That's not fun. But the transition with vendors is a little bit easier typically.
It's easier. And I'll give one more like super relevant example for the community that we work with. A lot of the people that we work with Jeremy DuPont with Patch. He just was on, well, he'll be on the podcast coming out this week. He's been on before. And you're talking about somebody that is, when it comes to internal marketing in particular, email marketing and making sure that you're remarketing to your internal, you know, asset list, the people that you've worked with. And it's like such low hanging fruit for people to know what they're doing and such a untapped resource of people that don't know what they're doing and organizing everything in your business on the back end. Like that right there, it's what it should come down to when you hire a vendor is you're looking for somebody that has a unique skill set that is going to take you a really long time to develop yourself, that has knowledge base of your industry and can show an ROI on what they're doing, right? So for instance, when we look at back at some of these campaigns that Jeremy's been running with Patch, like to be able to do remarketing campaigns that are basically like almost every single time, somewhere between $40,000 and $60,000 of recaptured revenue from prior customers, like that is such a huge win without having to spend a dollar on like paid advertising. That all comes from proven systems that somebody's dialed in and they're implementing on your behalf. So like you just have to do the return on investment on that. Like, what does it cost per month? How much can you expect to get back? How much time savings do you have? And like, then that's how you make the decision, right? So you're looking for things like this to reinvest in, because if you can take, let's call it, you know, $1,500 a month and you can reinvest in something that's going to help you make an extra $10,000 a month over the course of a year. Like, do you do that? If you go to a slot machine and put in $1,500 and pull the handle, and then it gave you $10,000 back, like how many times would you put $1,500 back in and pull the handle? Like probably every time you possibly could, right? Exactly. So that's a great example of somebody. And if you want to see like what that vendor looks like, go to getpatchsystem.com and you can see kind of what he's doing. And as an example of a vendor that we've worked with, that's a really dialed in one. Because sometimes that's the hard part. The hard part is like, who should I work with? That, especially on the vendor side, because it's so hard to tell if someone is reputable and that they know how to actually get your business results. I've worked with a number of local marketing companies that didn't work out. I had three that just didn't work out. And a lot of it was, they didn't know a damn thing about my business. They were just doing these general techniques that were getting a bunch of trash leads and traffic to our website. And it wasn't helping at all. If anything, it was creating a problem for us, because we had a bunch of just trash people we had to have conversations with. They're just like, this isn't even close to the right fit, you know? And it ended up wasting more of our time than anything else. So just as an example, that's probably a great one. If you're thinking about, well, where does this fit? Aside from like bookkeeping and from, design or, you know, whatever else you need help with on the financial side. That's a really good example of a relevant one that we see work, to this day.
Yeah. I still think it's really awesome. When you look at these vendors, word of mouth referrals is still the best way, right? Like I've got somebody who I trust who's used this already and they've done that. Okay, cool. This is going to be a good experience. Like this is how I've done. Like the amount of people that I've sent to a friend of mine who owns like an insurance company for like business insurance, you know what I mean? Or like a website person, like I think it's the best way. Like, you know, okay, I've got somebody, they've proven it. You know, it's worked for them. This is a similar business. Awesome. Let's do this. Like, as opposed to somebody more generic, right? Like, oh, I'm an accountant for, you know, S&P 500 companies that are, you know, worth millions and millions of dollars, as opposed to I work with small businesses or I work with medical small businesses. Like you're obviously going to get a way better result. And yes, I've used this person. Oh, cool. That's the one I want to go with.
Yeah, that's a great point. Like being specialized to an industry and a specialized knowledge base is probably the most important thing, because you could have an accountant that's like, I build tax structures for, you know, $1 billion C corps. And you're like, oh, that sounds impressive, but like I have a small physical therapy practice and they have no idea what you're like, what to do with your business because it's right. not in there. Like, it just doesn't make any sense for them because they're dealing with such far more complex problems that they don't know the nuances of these other areas and vice versa. If somebody's like, yeah, I primarily work with cash-based practices for accounting and it's like BP Oil calls them up to do some sort of mergers and acquisition. He's gonna have no idea what you're talking about, right? Like it has to match what your business is. And yeah, so I agree. I think the vendor referrals is actually really, really helpful. That's where I've gotten a lot of these myself. And it's like trusted resources and other business owners is where we see a lot of that. So let's do this. Let's summarize because we got five main areas. So if you're going to reinvest in your business, number one, realize there's a unique tax advantage there. There's a unique advantage for you for wealth building, net worth building when it comes to the enterprise value of your businesses over a long period of time. So it's worth doing if you're going to get an ROI on that. So knowledge is the first place. You know, don't just go buy an expensive golf club, learn how to swing it first and then get that bad boy. Number two is space. So having the space to see more people, to have more staff. Number three is people, having the people to fulfill on services and help you on the administrative side to get your time back and make you more efficient. Number four is technology and equipment. So bolting these things onto the business to increase efficiency, to increase revenue opportunities. And number five is vendors. So external specialists that you can bolt on to the business that can quickly help you add specialized skills that would typically take you a much longer time to learn yourself. And in most cases, probably not worth learning, but you need to find the right vendors that fit your business and have a skill set that they understand your business and can really help them. And if you can do that, those are the five areas that you'll get a reinvestment or a big return on investment, I should say, in your business for every dollar that you put into it. That's the goal. We want to reinvest in the business. We want to let it grow and grow and grow. And then you have a choice. Build the business to a point where you can either say, okay, cool, I have this entity I want to sell, exit, and have this, you know, windfall of money, potentially life-changing money. Or you can say, hey, I've dialed this thing in so well, it's taking me like 5-10 hours a week. I'm cool with that. I've basically created my own retirement vehicle that spits off, you know, thousands and thousands of dollars of cash flow every single month that you can decide, all right, cool, this is what I want to do from now on. Or maybe you want to move on to something else and autopilot that business and leave it like that. You can decide what you want. Either way, you have to reinvest. Because if you don't, it's just going to be you in a room by yourself treating people until you're sick of it. And you don't have a business, you have a job, which is okay if that's what you want. But just know that like you're going to that with your eyes wide open. You've created a job for yourself. If that's what you want, cool. If you want more than that and you want a business that is really functioning without you, it's going to take reinvesting in the right things.
Yeah. And that's the goal, right? Of all these live streams, podcasts is just, I want everyone to make really informed decisions. I want you to learn from the stuff that we've learned, the mistakes we've made, and like go into it, like you said, eyes wide open, you know? And when you look at these to kind of add to this, I think what kind of skills, people, space, like what kind of lens can I look at to make sure that I'm picking the right ones? And it goes back to what I said before, as I was thinking about it, it's like, how does it provide value to myself and to my business, right? And to my people. And how does this create leverage for me, right? And like it almost always comes down to time and kind of what Danny said, like, is it a force multiplier? What does it look like? You know, and if you can look at those things, man, this is adding a lot of value to me and my business. And this is, you know, allowing me to leverage my time, my resources in a positive way. And like those things kind of max out, like that's typically where I would go, right? Because you do have a lot of options, but you know, I always like creating frameworks and I'm building a framework almost as we talk, but I think, you know, that's a great way to kind of look at it and kind of decide like, where am I going to go with this stuff, you know? And how can I know that this is worth it? Like, where is the ROI, you know? And how, why does it make sense for me to invest here? Because I think not only do we need to lay out all these different ways to reinvest, but also how do we, you know, lack of a word, convince y'all that it makes sense to do this, right? And so, you know, thinking about it in this way, because I want everyone to move their business forward and you know, is a great way to look at it.
And I think about it sometimes, and it does get frustrating sometimes when you see people that are, they're just like, they're working really hard and they're trying to do everything on their own and they're trying to learn everything on their own. And I know what that feels like because I did the same thing And if you're being honest with yourself, it's probably your ego. It's probably the fact that you don't want to admit that you don't know something, that you don't want to admit that you need help with something, and that there's a far more efficient way with much more certainty about getting where you want to go, right? And it took me making like almost a mistake that damn near, you know, ruined our business before, you know, I had to kind of sit down and be like, dude, this is crazy. Why are you doing that? Why are you killing yourself and making mistakes that could ruin your business instead of figuring out what you don't know? Because I went to school to become a clinician. That's it. I didn't go to school to learn how to be a business owner that happened to be a clinician, but I put myself in a place where I figured, oh, I'm just going to piece this all together. How hard could it be? It's really hard. It's very, very hard. And I see this in other people. And I wish I could just like shake them and be like, dude, wake up. Why are you doing this? I know you think that spending money to like learn a skill set, like what we help people with, that what we teach people and how to actually like run these businesses, I just want to shake them and be like, you are trading the one thing you get no more of. You literally get no more time. We all don't know how much we have, but we know it's finite. You are trading that for dollars that are literally, you're going to get more of them every single month. And with a skill set that improves your business, it's going to be more of those. And it's just the fear of either they're making the wrong decision, they're working with the wrong people, or the fear of them. Like if you're listening to this, the fear of you not actually being able to do it. That's, I think, what scares a lot of people off is like, oh, well, if I do learn this information, I'm still incapable of it. That really sucks. That's hard. That's a hard pill to swallow. So you can say, well, if I never learned this, I learned this on my own. Like that's why it's taking a long time and slow or whatever. And you can kind of just blame it on that. But if you get help from people that have helped hundreds of people grow their practices, the only person you can blame but yourself and doing the work that you know works over and over again. So I think that scares a lot of people off, but you got to really look in the mirror and ask yourself, like, are you willing to trade out time for a fabricated resource of money that just buys us our time back, that just proves value to other people? That's all it is. And if that's what you want to do, cool. We're going to be here for a long time. We'll be around when you're ready. We're here. You know, we're in no hurry. But if you're listening to this and you're like, man, this is dumb. You're right. Like, I'm going to go for a walk and really think about if I'm doing the right thing for my family and my business. Because if your business is how you provide for your family, and it's how you buy groceries and you pay your mortgage, and you have this desire to want to have a lifestyle that you can afford more and you can have more time freedom, why try to figure it out on your own? I just don't understand. Like, I don't get it, except for your ego is probably getting in the way.
Yeah. It's still a tough decision to make, but I still remember the thing that I thought that might be helpful to other people. A, we're clinicians. We can go get a job. Let's say you do mess it up. You can go get a job anytime. Pretty awesome. B, it's going to suck either way. You know what I mean? Like, if I'm frustrated with where I am now and I can't get anywhere, you know, reinvesting and making this leap, yes, it's uncomfortable and scary, but so is the position I was in right then and there. And that's when I looked at it. I was like, man, I might as well be uncomfortable with this possible future goal in mind that is amazing, as opposed to where I'm now, right? Which didn't really necessarily have an end in sight. So I think you're right. It is a tough decision to make, but you know, all we can do is continue to do what we're doing now, which is give out as, you know, basically, you know, as much as we can, as much value as we can, and get people to, you know, kind of understand like this next step is pretty awesome. And, you know, we want you to take that leap.
Totally. And I hope this helps. These five areas will change your business if you reinvest in the right things. You know, that's the hardest part, right? Figuring out where to allocate that, allocate those resources so that they'll continue to compound and they'll continue to get you the knowledge and skill set and the time back that you really need to be able to focus on bigger tasks. And really in the end, to focus on the things you value the most, which are probably the people around you and your health and relationships and all the things that are actually outside the business that, you know, the business, you build the business so you can have the life you want. You don't build a business so it becomes your life. And that, you know, too often that's what actually happens. So hopefully this helps, guys. We really, really appreciate it as well. Listening to this. And, you know, if you're watching this on Facebook group, thank you so much for being in there. Check it out if you're not. As always, we'll see you next week. Eve, thanks so much for the conversation, man. Really enjoyed it.
Yeah. Thanks, y'all. Bye.
See ya. Hey, Peach Entrepreneurs, we have big, exciting news, a new program that we just came out with that is our PT Biz part-time to full-time five-day challenge. Over the course of 5 days, we get you crystal clear on exactly how much money you need to replace by getting you ultra clear on how much you're actually spending. We get you crystal clear on the number of people you're going to need to see and the average visit rate you're going to need to have in order to replace your income to be able to go full-time. We go through three different strategies that you can take to go from part-time to full-time. You can pick the one that's the best for you based on your current situation. Then we share with you the sales and marketing systems that we use within our mastermind that you need to have as well if you want to go full-time in your own practice. And then finally, we help you create a one-page business plan. That's right, not these 15-day business plans. You want to take the Small Business Association, a one-day business plan. It's going to help you get very clear on exactly what you need to do and when you're going to do it to take action. If you're interested in signing up for this challenge, it's totally free. Head to physicaltherapybiz.com/challenge. Get signed up there. Please enjoy. We put a lot of energy into this. It's totally free. It's something I think is going to help you tremendously as long as you're willing to do the work. If you're doing the work, you're getting information put down and getting yourself ready to take action in a very organized way, you will have success, which is what we want. So head to physicaltherapybiz.com/challenge and get signed up today.